Thank you, Mr. Westhuddle. Thank you. Okay, Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Are we on? Okay. Been working on Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following, which is almost like a whole other section. And, of course, Revelation chapter 18 coming up next Tuesday evening. So, a lot of new ground going on. It's very interesting in the Romans passage why Paul doesn't talk about homosexuality hardly anywhere else in any of his writings. But boy, in Romans, he goes right to it in chapter 1, which caused me to do some early wondering what's going on with the whole flow of the text. So often we just study things, and there it is. But I like to ask why and what's going on in this respect. And it's really interesting the things that Paul is doing in the first 18 verses, and then in verse 17 verses, and then verse 18 and following. So it's going to be some fun study in that regard. Okay, let's talk about prayer. Tish Lashin needs our prayers very much so. Things are not going well, so we need to be in prayer for her. Need to be in prayer for Nathan and Amber. Any other prayer requests? Okay. We had several Sunday. Can't remember all of them. We need to be in prayer for Kit's niece and Alicia and her mother, Molly. And God will just work through them. And as he said Sunday, there's a possibility that the niece would end up in the Dallas area where she might be under a little bit of his influence spiritually, which would be really wonderful in that respect. Okay, let's see. Tomorrow, because it's only going to do y'all any good, tomorrow's Valentine's Day, so you don't want to forget that. And if you're hearing this and you forgot it, it's too late. And you're hearing this via a disc or a tape, it's too late. You forgot it. Don't even bring it up. And so, okay, let's begin with the word of prayer and get oriented to what's going on in John chapter 14 at this point. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to open the scriptures and to rely on your Spirit to open our eyes in regard to what's going on in the upper room discussion, Father, where Jesus Christ lays out some very important things in regard to the church. Pray your Spirit will open our eyes to these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what we're going to be looking at is centering on dealing with the greater works. And how we're going to do the greater works. And what Jesus Christ is going to do, he's going to talk about his own works, and or his own work, if we want to just put it that way, his own work. And he used, at this point, the union model, how he is in the Father and the Father is in him, and that is related to God the Father doing his work in Jesus Christ. Then he's going to go into our doing the greater works, in which case he's going to go into a discussion in dealing with the giving of the Holy Spirit. But first he's going to talk about prayer, and he's going to talk about the obeying the commandments, doing the commandments. So we want to be sure we understand which commandments he has in mind. Then he's going to talk about the giving of the Holy Spirit, talk about spiritual love in here. So if we see the context of what's going on in the upper room, it's a powerful dissertation by Jesus Christ, not only to these men, but to all of us, in understanding our place and what we're doing here. So, chapter 14, verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Jesus Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus Christ, is going to make a difference in the life of Christ and what he did and why he is here. And this sets up the format for our own lives in verse 20. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And this is all going to be related to the coming of the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit. So, I am in Christ, therefore, this is going to affect what you and I do and how we do it in our lifetime. The more we understand how we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, my goodness, you just slipped in, because I was just talking about you a moment ago. Boy, that was sneaky. The more that we understand the relationship of Christ and the Father, and the Father and Christ dealing with what Christ came and did, then we understand Christ in us and us in Christ, then we begin to grasp by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the more we experience the change in our life and how we function and what we do. And the key to all of this in this chapter, this one chapter, chapter 14, Christ is putting forth a great deal of material for the church. Jesus Christ declares here to the disciples and to us in that respect that his relationship with the Father directly affects his own life. And who Jesus Christ is not hidden. He is not hidden in regard to who he is. He is here to represent God the Father. Look at chapter 7, verse 46. Now we're going to be putting a lot together tonight in dealing with this whole ideal of the greater works. Chapter 7, verse 46. The officer said, "Never did a man speak the way this man speaks." Now Jesus Christ said, "Everything that I say is not of my own initiative, but is of God, the words of God, and God doing in me." Look at chapter 5 for a moment. Chapter 5 of John. This whole thing begins to flow that Christ has been building onto what we're having the upper room discussion. Chapter 5, verse 36 and 37. Verse 36. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John the Baptist, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me, he has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Now he's building to our passage where he's going to say that Father is doing the work in him. So in the upper room with just the 11 disciples now, he is laying out some mystery in dealing with the union model that we're involved with. Now, they've heard him, but they rejected him, the Jews did. Look at chapter 10 for a moment. Chapter 10, verse 35. Chapter 10, verse 35 to 38. Chapter 10, 35. If he calls them gods, let's start with verse 34. Jesus said to them, "Has it not been written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. Now, we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following, about a unrighteous and a righteous man. And the manifestations of the unrighteous is going to be very clear to us. Well, there's a manifestation if we are indeed walking in the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. There's going to be a manifestation of that. There's nothing to guarantee or to manifest that we are believers in Christ or not, but that we are in the Spirit, there is going to be. Now, chapter 5, look back at chapter 5 a moment of John, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Chapter 5, 17 and 18. But he answered and said, My Father is working until now, and I myself am working. Now his working is the working of God the Father. For this cause, therefore, the Jews were seeking the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. They saw, they heard, and they refused to believe. In fact, it will harden their rejection to the point where they will hand him over to the Romans to be crucified. That will be their objective, that he be crucified. Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7. John, Christ has been laying these seeds all the way before, and now we can pick up and see what he was doing. Chapter 7, and we want to look at verse 45. Chapter 7, 45. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, Why did you not bring him? The officers answered, Never did a man speak, remember now these are not his of his own initiative, speak the way this man speaks. The Pharisees therefore answered them, You have not also been led astray from the law, their vision of the law, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? So Christ came, he spoke openly and publicly, declaring the words and the works of God the Father. Now, another very important passage, while we're just putting a lot of things together, is chapter 12. Look back just a couple of chapters to chapter 12, verse 44 through 46. Chapter 12, 44. And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. Now we'll get an understanding of that with I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me, beholds God the Father. I have come as light unto the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Faith in Christ enables us to see God the Father. Verse 47, And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, now we'll be looking at that word keep here in a few minutes, in John 14, does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. So the rejection of Jesus Christ, refusal to believe, means judgment from God the Father. But what we're looking at is what is going on between him and the Father. Continue reading in verse 49. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself, who sent me, has given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So this makes it very clear of what the commandment is. And that's going to come up in a few moments in our study in John 14. The commandment is eternal life. Believe in Christ and have eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has instructed me. So we have the relationship between Jesus Christ, God the Father, and our properly understanding our relationship with Him. Now, chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 10. The Father, abiding in me, does His works. Then if you look in verse 12, He says, truly I say to you, he believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. So many religious people, when they see the word works, they immediately go to Christian life of obedience. They read stuff like this, and boy, we got to get out and we got to work for the Lord, and we got to do things for the Lord. And they control their congregations, they control people, they judge each other according to their list of works. The do and do, do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. They do not mean what Paul says when they talk about obedience, what Paul said in Romans 1, you recall. The obedience that is faith. That's the work that we're to do. Now, what are the works that Jesus Christ did that we are to do? This is going to be very important in this whole understanding, this whole thing that Christ is doing in the upper room. It's a very dramatic thing happening to Jesus Christ. So let's just get it down and we'll cover it again when we come to the actual passage. But when Jesus Christ came, to the earth, He came to the Jew first. He came to the Jew. And that explains so many things. For an example, when the Greeks came seeking, and they were afraid to take the Greeks to Jesus Christ because He had come for the Jews. And so He came to the Jews. The Jews rejected Him. The Jews rejected Him, and they crucified Him. Turned Him over to the Romans to be crucified. Crucify Him, they cried out. Okay, so if this is the work of Jesus Christ, to reconcile the Jews to God the Father, bring them to the Father. Then over here on this side of the cross, He talks about greater works. Now what most people do, what I was taught in seminary, what most people do with this and in churches that I've attended, is it's greater in number. You've got more in number. Well, first of all, you got more people. He's one. We got all the believers of the church. So it's greater in number. But people, the Greek word, as we'll see when we get to it, for greater is not in number, not in quantity, but in quality. Here, the same word is going to be how John is greater. Now, not greater in number, but greater in quality. So we're going to see this number. And what this number means is that the church, it now opens up the heavenly kingdom to all Gentiles. And this is very important in Paul's writing, how he came to present the message, the gospel, to Gentiles. And so all the Gentiles are brought into the kingdom. So here is the greater works. We have the opportunity of telling the whole world of the gospel to the whole world. Now, this is the greater works. But in the midst of all of this, we have a lot of things that are going to be working together on this. Now, this ideal of obedience and doing the greater works. What is the commandments that are being given to us? And we're getting ready to study the works of Jesus Christ. And we'll have to note that before we come to the greater works of man. And but in order to understand the works of Christ, or to understand our greater works, we want to understand the work of Jesus Christ. How He did it, so that we'll know how we're going to do it. And this is the whole purpose of giving this union model. He is in the Father. He comes to do the Father's work. We are in Him. We do His work. See, this is how this is going to work and how it's going to be put together for us. So it is proper, it's so important for us to understand what His work was, how He was in the Father and doing the Father's work in Him by the Father being in Him. We are in Him, therefore we can do the works, do the greater works. There are those who study the Word of God, the Scriptures, and see obedience's works, and they try to do this without faith in the power of God, faith in the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, they claim you're filled with the Spirit as you do these things. And they're taught this. They teach this. So they teach that one gains the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit by obedience first. The obedience of repentance or confession or whatever it may be. Whatever they have is their list. And they try to control one another by all of this obedience. Alright, now we do have an obedience. We study that in Romans 1, but it is a different obedience than what most people think of. Verse 15, let's look at verse 15 of chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Concept of a commandment now. But there are those who will take the verse like this, and they will concentrate on that word to keep. By the way, the NIV translates that word obey. The NIV translates it obey. And they will take this out of its context of what Christ is saying, and again, making it obedience. And miss the whole point of what Christ is saying. Look at verse 21, please. Verse 21. He who has my commandments. First you have to have them. And many religious people claim they have them, but they do not have the commandments that Christ is talking about here. And we already have a clue, because what is the commandment? It's related to eternal life. It's here for those who want to see, with the eyes of faith, what all of this is doing. And what all this is talking about. But if you want to make it works, and you want to make it the commandments, all the commandments in the Bible, whatever your commandments you want to list up, you can do that. You can do that. He who has my commandments and keeps them. Again, obedience. So verse 15, look back at verse 15. Keep my commandments. Plural. Verse 23. Look at verse 23. Keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So we have commandments. We have word. Look at verse 24. Very next verse. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Keep and words in the plural now. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 10. It's all one upper room discussion. Chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments. So this is a flowing thing going through this entire dissertation by Jesus Christ. Keeping His word, keeping His commandments. So first we have to properly understand what they are. That will be a guide in how we're to keep them. But many believers actually think that they can obey the commandments without faith in the Spirit, without the power of the Spirit, and that they actually gain the Holy Spirit by doing, keeping them. Alright. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. So, love here seems to be related to works, to our doing. Alright. Now, he who loves me shall be, in verse 21, look at verse 21 a moment. He who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Okay? Now, a lot of people would prefer this to read, he who obeys my commandments and works real hard to obey, this is the one the Father will love. But that isn't what it says. He who loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. So we have to understand, how can I love? How can I love Jesus Christ? How can I love God the Father? This becomes a crucial, again, a crucial question. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. So love is known by keeping the commandments. So we have to know what the commandments are, how we're going to do them, how all of this is going to play. Look at chapter 15 again with me a moment. Chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Well, we already know the Father's commandments related to eternal life. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Well, we know what? We know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So this again gives us another clue as to what's going on here. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So here we have keep and obey, and church is divided on how we keep it, how we love, what are the commandments, what is the word that is being talked about. Look at chapter 17, verse 6. Chapter 17, verse 6. I manifest thy name to men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept my word. Okay, there's that keeping of his word again. So, what is the obedience that we're to do? They have kept my word. They have obeyed my word. And so we have to know, what is his word? What are the commandments? What are the things that he's talking about in this whole discussion? This is all one discussion. This is not different discussions with different subject things in mind. We can't do that. This has got to be a momentum here. Look at chapter 6 of John. Chapter 6. Verse 27. Chapter 6, verse 27. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Okay, so if you're listening to this now as a Pharisee, I can do some work for eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. They said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? It's a great question. What are the works? You said in verse 27, you do not work for food which perishes. So what are we going to do to work for this food as eternal life? And that's what they hear. And that's what people, what do I do? Just tell me what to do. Verse 29, Jesus said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Clearly defines what the work is. It's faith. So many believers hurt each other, divide, judge, bite, and devour one another, trying so hard to prove that they are of God, that they love God, that they're doing what God wants them to do. Well, in effect, they're just like the Pharisees, trying to impress one another. And we're going to study the Pharisees in this study a little bit. Now the disciples entered the room. Remember how they entered the room. Let's don't lose sight of that. It's taken us a long time to get to where we are, but don't forget how they entered the room. They entered the room arguing with each other who was the more spiritual. Who was the more spiritual among them? Okay, verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Chapter 14. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. So we've got the union model. We've got the speaking, not of his own initiative, and the Father doing his works in him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise believe on account of the works themselves. Three times we have the word faith or believe. And again in verse 12. So four times the word faith. And we have to ask ourselves, why? Why does Jesus Christ emphasize this word in these three verses using it four times? Because people in the spiritual realm, faith comes first. Believing is seeing. Believing is obeying. And everything that's going to follow here is going to pick up this whole theme now. So, in the spiritual matters, in the spiritual things that are spiritual matters, faith comes first. Faith is first. Faith is the way that you're going to see. So, we have believing is seeing. And then we have believing, put it on the board, believing is obeying. Now people, what I've got on the board, I know most of you here tonight understand this is nothing, but boy, this is not the way most people are going to see what's going on. Believing is seeing, believing is obeying. The obedience that God is looking for is our faith. And people, it runs all the way through the Bible. We just saw it in Romans 1:5. It's all through the Scriptures, but you'd be surprised how many people do not see it this way. Verse 11, he says, believe me. Present active imperative of our verb pistuo. P-I-S-T-E-U long O. Believe me, present active imperative. The object is Jesus Christ. When some people see the word believe me, all they can think about is salvation won or eternal life salvation. Believe in me as Savior. People, these men are already saved. They're already saved. He's not offering them salvation won again. So let's kind of get a feel of what he's talking about. When he says, believe me, it's not believe in me as Savior. It's believe me. Here they are to believe in his position in God the Father. Believe me, and then we have the word that introduces what they're to believe. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Okay. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Believe me, I'm telling you. Otherwise, believe on account of the works. Now, you have the New American Standard there. The King James. The King James says, or else. This is when I wish I'd have made PowerPoint for this tonight, but or else believe me for, this is what the King James says, for the very work's sake, for the very work's sake. Okay. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. The NIV, it says, or at least, or at least believe on the basis. Please believe on the basis, or on, excuse me, on the evidence. On the evidence. On the evidence of the miracles themselves. Of the miracles themselves. Okay, let's see what we have here. The New American Standard. Otherwise, believe me, otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. That's the New American Standard. King James, or else believe me, for the sake, for the very works' sake. The NIV, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. Okay, let's first of all take a look at the word works that we have going on here. The word works, translated miracles by the NIV, not really sure what they had in mind there, but it's the word ergon, which is E-R-G-O-N, and that's translated work or performance. Labor, something done. People, let me just jump to it. The work that he's talking about here, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We're on the cross. Jesus Christ did all the work necessary. That's why we do not do works. On the work, on the cross, he did all the works necessary for reconciliation with God for eternal life. Herein is Jesus Christ in God and God in Christ. We won't turn to it, but in 2 Corinthians 5 or 6, that God the Father was in the person of Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is the work that Jesus Christ did. This is the work that he is talking about. Jesus Christ has accomplished all the works necessary in providing reconciliation between man and God. And as we will see, this being the greater work that Jesus Christ has accomplished. Now, the question arises, why is this so important to Jesus Christ? Why is it important that we believe that he is in the Father and the Father is in him? Why is this important to him at this point in the upper room discussion, taking the conversation to this point and making it clear, I want you to believe it. Believe me, or at least believe on account of the works themselves. Why is Jesus Christ so adamant that we believe, that they, the disciples, and that we believe that he is in the Father and the Father is in him? The answer is given in verse 12. Let's take a look. The answer is in verse 12. Why it is so important. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. The effect of us understanding that he is in the Father is in he, and that he did the works, it will affect, as it affected his life, it will affect our life. The effect of his being in the Father, the cause of his work. And Jesus Christ begins here in verse 12, he begins the effect of his leaving planet Earth. Tied to this whole thing is Jesus Christ getting ready to leave planet Earth. He's going to leave the disciples behind for the period called the church. We have the age of Israel, God becoming man, rejected and buried on a cross, buried, rising from the grave, ascending to heaven, and then the sending of the Holy Spirit. And we have this peculiar period of history. And it really is a peculiar period of history. It's going to be a peculiar people. That's what he told the woman at the well. It's going to be a time when it's going to be that God is going to call a peculiar people. And that's what you and I are. We are a peculiar people. It's a peculiar period of history. And that you and I understand this union model and how I am in Christ and Christ is in me. It will affect our lives as it affected him. Now, we have five conditions of performing the greater works. Five conditions. We now move to section 12 through 18. But let's not lose perspective of all that's going on in this dissertation by Jesus Christ. What he has said before, what he is saying now, and what's coming up in chapters 15 and 16. This whole thing is so important to understand what Jesus Christ is doing. This whole chapter 14 is an encouragement out of his love. We started off with, "Let not your heart be troubled. Calm down. I'm going to give you so much. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, the greater works, all these things. You're not going to just be idly hanging around while I'm gone from planet Earth. There is so much going on." And that's what's happening. And chapter 14 is a pivotal and wonderful chapter of encouragement for us, motivated by his love. But before we dive into verse 12, well, let's again get the feel of the whole context. If we fail to see the flow of Jesus Christ's statements, you'll miss the vital connections that are involved here. So often we just divide, go one verse by verse, verse by verse, and that we'll do that, but I don't want you to lose the relationship of everything, just like we're going to do in Romans chapter 1:18. We'll cover it verse by verse, but how and why does it fit there? So let's get a feel of what's going on in the vital connections here. Please note that verse 13 and 16 both begin with a conjunction translated "and." Verse 13, "and." Verse 16, "and." So we have verse 12, the greater works. Then we have verse 13 and verse 16, "and." Now let's read together 12 through 16, just to get a flow. "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now it's been him and the Father. The Father in him, but now he will bring us into it. "He who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." So it's going to be dependent on his going to the Father. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do." Just jumping ahead, there's your second prayer. First is that he goes to the Father. That's going to be the first thing. Second, prayer. We'll see how this fits in. This isn't praying about your aunt. This isn't praying about winning the lottery. This isn't praying about somebody's foot, somebody's health. This is in context a powerful prayer. "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Verse 15, the next condition. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Verse 16, "I will ask the Father." Here's the final condition. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper," another just like me, "that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth." Okay, now let's go back to 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you." So this is, now comes into it. What he wants to say. The issue being the greater works. "Truly, truly, I say to you." This is what spiritual love will do. Spiritual love is aware of the circumstances of others. We've seen that. of what's going on in their souls and in their lives, in the spiritual warfare. Then the kindness, the comfort. Let not your heart be troubled. But now look what he says. He's ready to take them now. He's comforted their soul. Can you die? You're going to be with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. All that's taken care of, but you're left here on earth. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do, and greater than these shall he do. Now, let's watch the construction. Because I go to the Father. The first condition of greater works, because Jesus Christ departs earth to go to the Father. This is the first condition. He has to leave planet earth. Verse 12 tells us three things. One, performance of the greater works. Two, the necessity of faith to accomplish the greater works. And three, the necessity of Jesus Christ leaving planet earth and going to the Father. So verse 12 starts us off with three things we want to be aware of in this study. Now we cannot stop at the end of verse 12. If we stop at the end of verse 12, we miss the point of his going to the Father. It's not just the fact of his departure to the Father, but people, the effect of his going to the Father. Not just the fact of his going to the Father, leaving earth, but the effect on planet earth, the effect on the body of Christ, the effect on each one of us with his going to the Father. What will now happen to us if he goes to the Father? Jesus Christ is doing something extremely important for us as a result of his leaving and going to the Father. And his prayers. So we're going to come to the prayer life. Will be answered directly related to Jesus Christ being with the Father. And I will send another helper, which is the indwelling and empowering opportunity of God the Holy Spirit. So all of this is just flows so well and hangs together of what he's doing. Verses 13 and 14 begin with the conjunction translated and. Indicates that there is a direct relationship between our doing the greater works and our prayer life. Direct relationship between our doing the greater works and our prayer life. In fact, constructually, there's a vital relationship between our faith and our doing the greater works, the departure of Christ, and our prayer life. Prayer is just one of the most difficult things to encourage people in regard to prayer. Not just thank you for this food or let this happen, that, but the power of prayer in the specifics of why we're left here on earth. The relationship between doing greater works and our prayer life. The relationship between our faith and our prayer life. The relationship between Jesus Christ's departure and our prayer life. Okay. There's a relationship between these things. There's a relationship between our doing the greater works, our doing the greater works, and our prayer life. Then there is a relationship of our faith and our prayer life. And then there's a relationship, Jesus Christ's departure. Jesus Christ's departure from earth and our prayer life. So, begin to see how important this prayer thing is to Jesus Christ now. Not just in dealing with praying without ceasing. And this is a specific prayer thing here. So, the greater works is related to our prayer life. Our faith is related to our prayer life. Jesus Christ's departure is related to our prayer life, unlike it ever was before, because now the head of the church sits at the right hand of God the Father. And that's why he's going to talk about, pray to me. They didn't do this in the Old Testament. This is for us. This is a powerful thing, an interdependency of all of these things that are going on and deal with how important our prayer life is in relationship to greater works, our faith, and Jesus Christ's departure. To know that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father affects our prayer life. Okay, so far, our doing the greater works depends on our faith, depends on the departure of Jesus Christ, and depends on our prayers. In verse 15, as one more vital part to the greater works, and that is love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, we're going to see that the commandments involve faith and love. Faith and love. Love one another. In chapter 13, talking to the disciples, love one another as I have loved you. So, now with the related with the greater works, as we're going to see, are dependent upon spiritual love. Spiritual love. So, this is now related to faith, the departure of Christ, our prayers, and love. But there's still one more essential that is necessary for the greater works, and that's the power. So far, there's no greater works. No greater works can even be done if we leave it here. Cannot even be performed by any of us. There's one more necessity, one more essential, and that is the giving of the Holy Spirit in verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. It is absolutely necessary that Jesus Christ depart so that he can give us and send us the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 7, verse 39. Chapter 7, verse 39. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him, that is in Jesus Christ, were to receive, day of Pentecost. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was not yet given. This is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus Christ was not yet glorified. Okay, so this is the added necessity now, is the coming of an indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit, setting up, of course, the potential for the power of the Holy Spirit. So constructually, we have five conditions. We have five conditions for doing the greater works. We shall do, and I'm going to put that in quotes, we'll come back to it, the greater works. We shall do the greater works. And one, if we live by faith. If we live by faith. Faith is a vital in doing the spiritual works. Two, because Jesus Christ goes to the Father. The departure of Jesus Christ. Three, prayers. Four, spiritual love. And five, the Holy Spirit. The empowerment of God, the Holy Spirit. So, faith, departure of Jesus Christ, our prayers, the force of spiritual love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith in the first helper resulted in our eternal redemption. Faith in the second helper results in the greater works. Faith in the first person sent by God the Father results in him being in us, and us being in him, and us being in the Father. Faith of the Holy Spirit is the actual reality of him being in us as believers, and we being in him. So this whole thing, this is a pattern, what we have right here of our life. Faith, partner Jesus Christ, prayer, the force of spiritual love. The only way that the world is going to see His love is by the believer, because He is not here on earth during the church age. If anyone is going to see how Jesus Christ loves, it's going to be through the believer, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So spiritual love is the force that is going to bring this about, and the Holy Spirit is the power. Is the power for performing the greater works. When you think of the greater works that Jesus Christ, than Jesus Christ, one thing should start flowing in your thinking. Whatever they are, I cannot do them. Whatever the greater works are, I cannot do them in the flesh. There is not even a hope of it, or even thinking about doing it. I am totally dependent on the Holy Spirit by faith for the greater works to flow through me. Now let's make this simple as possible, that anyone who desires to see how to have greater works, this is how it's done. This is as simple as I know how to make it. Our goal, so we'll put up here our goal, as Jesus Christ has laid it out now, our goal is the greater works. This is our goal, stated by our Savior Himself. This is the objective set forth by our Lord and Savior at His departure. Our faith. This is faith in the Holy Spirit. This is the faith-to-faith that Paul was talking about in Romans 1:17. This is that second faith-to-faith in the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the departure of Jesus Christ from earth to heaven. Jesus Christ's departure to the right hand of God the Father. This means that there is a member of the human race in heaven. Jesus Christ going to the Father directly has a direct bearing on our prayers being answered in sending Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. Three, prayer. Our prayers. We now have a representative at the throne of grace to assure the answering of prayer related to our goal and our purpose. There are a lot of prayer promises in the Bible, or prayer statements in the Bible, but people, this one, this isn't talking about, even like you and I will pray for people. This is talking about prayer as it relates to the greater works. Four, spiritual love, and five, another helper. Our first helper, faith in Jesus Christ, resulted in reconciliation. Our faith in the second helper results in the greater works, which we are going to see are related to why Christ came as far as His own works, His own person on here on earth. So our faith is dependent on God to do the works. Our prayer related to Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Spiritual love, a vital force in the greater works. Holy Spirit is the power. Okay, we will pick it up here next Wednesday evening. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Scriptures. I pray now that Your Spirit will take the things that we've seen. I pray, Father, that I've spoken these things in simplicity, clarity, and now this rather difficult passage is put together of what Jesus Christ said to us in the upper room, to grasp the sense of all that's going on. And now our only part is faith. That's all that we can do. And just as You did Your works through Your Son, You do Your works through us by means of Your Spirit. sealed and wrapped in your love given to us by the Holy Spirit, who will give us this desire in our prayers. Pray these things now, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.